You're listening to The People's Pitch, the official podcast of Minneapolis City Soccer Club, brought to you by footballstadiumprince.com. Let's start the show.
And as I talked about just a couple minutes ago, as Joe Watt stands over this one, he appears to be the one taking the penalty here. This is a huge confidence booster if you're a Duluth.
Worst case
Elder
scenario for City
for
right
more.
Here.
And it stopped!
Yes!
And it stopped!
Totally
Matt
redeems
Elder.
Himself.
Matt Elder redeeming himself! Oliver with the right foot. The shot is
goal! Oliver!
Justin Oliver will break the scoreless tie. And it is 1-0 Minneapolis City. It's Hutton now on the offense with the left foot.
And another goal!
And it is now 2-0 Minneapolis
oh, yes!
City.
Good finish.
Nick Hutton taking his quick victory lap.
This is your home of lower league off-season shenanigans. It is the People's Pitch Podcast. Hello, hello. I am your host, Nate Morales. Joining me, as always, is the man with the sneakiest soccer Rolodex in all of Minnesota. It's Minneapolis City co-founder, John Bizworm. John, you're a few days from a long stint of travel, so glad you could make room on your calendar for the little people in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm more than happy to make room for all of the folks that sit further rungs down the ladder than I do. So it's no problem. Yeah, I'm happy to do it. I got a lot of travel, holidays coming up, work stuff, year end closing, we can call it. And I'm really excited to at least kind of squeak out one more show. It's going to be an interesting one that we've kind of been looking forward to. We circled it on the calendar and then it was like, holy shit, it came up. So today we're going to talk a little bit about futures trials. They're underway with more to come next week. But I am not the only one with travel on the horizon. We've got City legend Aaron Olsen, the Aaron Olsen, in the house to talk about his upcoming trip to Argentina, where he'll be representing the USA in the Maccabi Games.
Yeah, man. Ring a ding ding. Let's get their heads ringing.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, long time listener, first time caller. Love to be here.
Well, let's just dive in, Nate.
Yeah, man.
Let's just get right after our AO portion of the show here.
I looked it up, and it was way back in May of 2018 when Aaron made his first appearance on the pod, which happens to be exactly 200 episodes ago. And since then, he's been a favorite for us to feature in things like post-game interviews, on-field wrap-ups, really anytime we can get a mic in his face. So we got to welcome the man, the myth, the legend, Aaron Olsen. Aaron, how have you been?
Oh, I've been great. Yeah, thanks for that intro. So kind. Just, you know, trying to stay in shape in the off-season. And one of those ways is by joining this initiative, this team, USA, for the Maccabi Games in Argentina.
Well, back in episode 45, when we were still figuring out how to run audio equipment, you joined us after season one of it was kind of like the first off season we had. And you talked about your history competing in the Pan American Maccabi Games, specifically in 2007 when you went as a U18 player. And here you are over 15 years later, you're heading back as a full-fledged adult. Talk a little bit about the Pan American Games in general and your first call up back in 2007. How'd you hear about it? All that stuff.
I first got started with Maccabi Games at the domestic level. The urban JCCs across all the states put that together regionally every year. So I was playing with the St. Paul JCC. And that's kind of how I found out about the more international scene, the more competitive level. And as I became of age to join one of those teams, the juniors, U16 to U18, I just thought that it was an opportunity I didn't want to pass up. Difference being back then to now, I funded my own way. So that's why I haven't been back since.
Gets a little expensive to jump on a flight and pay for a hotel.
Well, you know, Jews aren't cheap. Contrary to popular belief.
Wow. All right. So I think if this year and the first time you talked about it is any indicator of how it goes, you run up against teams from Brazil, from Uruguay, from Argentina, from Mexico, all these countries and more are going to be competing at these games, all made up of members of the Jewish community. Was that eye-opening for a young Aaron Olsen to see and to experience? Like, holy shit, there are Mexican Jews.
Yeah, definitely. Just to see the fact that, you know, the culture expands further than your own boundaries, and to see all the different sort of races of Jews. I'll say that. I mean, we are one race, but you know, you think of we're one race, but you don't really think that can mean different skin colors as well. So yeah, it was eye opening. I'd say the biggest eye opener was just the level of talent, as a youth at that level. You know, those Pan American teams have a certain style they like to play, very technical, very smooth, and they used the ball and the field in ways that I had never ran up against in playing, you know, club soccer in Minnesota and the region of the Midwest. So that, I think, was the biggest eye opener.
Yeah, I'm looking down at the roster that you sent over to us, and like, holy cow! Like, I the collection of the team, which we'll get into in a little bit, is pretty impressive. But how does the selection work? Like, the selection process for the team, was there a trial period, or did like the leadership of the team just like pick up the phone because you were in the Rolodex from back in your junior stint?
The games themselves are on a 4-year cadence, right? There's the true Maccabi, the global Maccabi games, which are held in Israel. And then there's the Pan Am games, which is offset from that, kind of like summer winter Olympics. I believe there's one other version. It might be European. It might be Australian. But for the Israeli games, there is actually a tryout that is held. And those tryouts are held regionally across the U.S. At varying times. And then once the team is put together, the team itself has training sessions, I think usually in Florida, before the team goes to Israel. For the Pan Am games, there's just not that level of funding from the organization. At least that's my best assumption. We won't be having any training sessions in the U.S. prior to heading down. There was no formal tryout. It was strictly an application of player profile that I submitted, and then waited for about 3 months while they deliberated who they were going to choose. I actually called in because I was, you know, I like to be modest, but I was a little surprised it was taking so long. But yeah, as we might get into in a little bit, John, like you said, when I looked at the roster of the players they selected, I understood why it may have taken them that long.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that roster, it's a mix of veteran talent like yourself, along with some younger players that are just out of college or still in school. I see some players from the NISA, some players that went to the University of Vermont, probably could play for Vermont Green, so other fellow UPSL or NPSL players. USL 2 players, but you have the dubious honor of being the co-elder of the team. But there's plenty of guys with experience playing on it. And you already kind of answered this, that there are really no opportunities to practice together and gel ahead of the competition. I mean, how is everyone? I mean, some of these kids are 21, 22, 24, all the way up to you and some of the other guys in your early 30s. Like, how are you going to come together? How do you expect to come together?
Yeah, great question. I mean, everything else being equal, I'd say it's normally, you know, that'd be some adversity that a team would have to face. But the fact of the matter is that there is a core group within the players that were selected that have been to the previous Pan Am games, as well as the previous Israeli games. And I think potentially even the rounds of games in Pan America and Israel before that as well. So, and in those games, they've either come home with gold or silver, every time. So, you know, these guys are gamers, they're competitive, and they know each other, at least, you know, a solid group of them know each other and how they play together. So I think I'm hoping that that will continue to run its course when we go down to Buenos Aires this time. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll definitely be interesting to meet these guys for the first time and see the level firsthand of the talent and sort of that, you know, navigate the dynamic, the social dynamic, the leadership dynamic of the team and who exactly that's going to be and how that all shakes out. But I'm certainly no stranger to being one of the oldies.
Yeah, as I'm running down the roster here, you know, just to kind of give some color to the folks listening, like there's players that kind of come from a lot of different a huge swath of areas of the soccer landscape in the U.S. You have some former Division I players, some current Division I players, some retired professionals, players like yourself who have moved on into day jobs and have a piece of soccer still connected to them at the lower league level. You know, retired graduates of Creighton University that played there. I see Dan Cohen is on the team, I believe. His name rang around the MLS circles for a handful of years. You know, so you're from on paper, what you're saying rings true that, you know, like, these guys can play and it's not just grabbing whoever they can get. Again, that might speak to the selection process of why it was so long. But do you have a previous relationship with any of these players like that you played with in the past?
You know, interestingly, I don't. I didn't see any names on the roster this time around that I played with the first time around on the juniors. I've seen on a couple of their profiles that they also played at the junior level, but at a year after I did. So, no, I don't have any connection to any of these guys. Although, what I will say is the coach. Is the former coach of Birmingham Southern College. And coincidentally, when my freshman year at Trinity University, Birmingham Southern College had just moved down into Division III from Division I. And they were, I want to say they were in our conference. If they weren't in our conference, we ended up playing them at Birmingham Southern. So there is a small tie, you know, 6 degrees of separation, if you want to call it that. But nothing. I mean, you know, when I spoke to the coach, I'd love to say that he remembered me, but no such luck. But it is funny how small the community is, but at the same time, how far it reaches.
So can you talk to us a little bit about the atmosphere at these games, seeing that it is a combination of athletic competition, religious events, and then a New Year's Eve celebration?
Yeah, so what I tell people is that, you know, people who are not familiar with the Jewish community or the Maccabi games at large is that it's basically like the Jewish Olympics. Obviously, it's not the Olympics in terms of the notoriety, the publicity, or the general level of talent of athlete, but in terms of environment and what the games provide from a social aspect, it absolutely is. There's not necessarily an athlete's village, but you know, the entire Team USA is put up basically in one of three hotels. And there's, you know, there are family members and fans that come down to watch. This is an event that has national interest in the country of Argentina. And especially because something that may not be well known is that Argentina has the fifth or sixth largest Jewish population outside of Israel. So, it's something that the country prides itself in being able to host, and doesn't spare, any sort of, expense isn't the right word, but you know, they go all out in terms of making it a memorable event for anybody who participates.
Sure.
Well, make sure you check your meals so that none of the opposing teams, now that we found out how serious it is, poison your food or anything. You don't get a stomach bug when the Jewish Mexicans roll into the hotel.
And you said like the entire Team USA stays at the same hotel, and that means across all sports, right?
Correct.
And there's quite a few from what I'm looking at. It's everything from, I think they added pickleball this year, but I mean, it's all your typical Olympic sports, which is pretty big. I mean, that's phenomenal that's got to be a huge crew. What is it, I guess, when you get the call, Aaron, what does it mean to you to get that call to play in these games? And how has your perspective on that changed since you were 18?
Well, I mean, it's always a point of pride. It's always an honor and a privilege to be named to a team like this. No matter the pretense of what tournament you're going to or why the team is being put together, it's always humbling to be able to send your player profile into an administrative group that is looking at you as one out of potentially 100 to 200 other people that are trying to make their case to be on a team of 24. No, not even 19, I think, is the number that is that they're ending up bringing down for the soccer team specifically. So, I mean, huge honor in that sense of making that cut. But then all the added honor and privilege of representing our country as well as the religion. So, yeah, I mean, I'm super pleased to be going down and to be able to do it. And I guess I'd say the difference, my perspective has changed a little bit since I went down the first time. The first time I was just a little shit in high school. So I don't know. I wasn't paying too much attention to, I think, the culture of Argentina and everything. I think I was just worried about scoring goals and, trying to talk to ladies. This time around, I'm much more interested in attempting to, experience the city of Buenos Aires, the country of Argentina, understand the similarities that reach across borders in terms of the culture and the religion, and really try to make connections, lasting connections with my teammates as well as potentially some other people from around the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's a maturity to that, right? Where it's, like you said, you go down as an 18-year-old and you're just like, where do I get wasted? Where can I between games? And as long as I don't make a fool out of myself out there. Were you already committed to Trinity when you went down the first time? Or did you think that was maybe an opportunity to kind of build your portfolio a little bit?
Ooh, yeah, good question. I do think that I was already committed to Trinity. I did early admission at Trinity. So I'm trying to remember. I think best bet is that I was already admitted. Yeah. But it certainly would be for any student that is looking at colleges and has not yet committed or has not yet gotten a call from that one coach, I do think it would be a resume builder.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of what I was absolutely thinking.
Yeah.
Wondering if that was kind of where you were at.
I mean, when we went down when I was 17 or 18, when we went down, we got our butts handed to us. I won't lie. I think that is probably a harder, it's a harder process to be successful with for administrators to receive player profiles of kids that age. And be able to look at just a sheet of paper and say yes or no, and really, you know, segregate the talent. Because I never saw the player profiles of my team, of my teammates down there. But once we got down there, it was pretty apparent that like there were some, I hope they're not listening, but there were some kids that probably shouldn't have been there.
Well, yeah, that happens when you don't have a proper trial process, really. I mean, it's difficult to look at someone on paper, and you know, as we see at Minneapolis City with some of our trialists, you read the profile and you're like, all right, I'm gonna put a star next to this one, and then you know, the proof all of a sudden has flies in the pudding, and you're like, what is this, the same person?
Yeah True.
Well, AO, it looks like opening ceremonies begin on Thursday, December 28th, and then the games roll through outside of an exception made on Shabbat on the 29th. But games look to be starting right after those opening ceremonies, if not before them. Is there any way that you've heard that we could potentially catch these games online so we can cheer on a member of the Murder?
Yes, I hope so. That's been a frequent question posted in the WhatsApp thread, the group that we've got going on with our teammates and coaches. The coaches believe there will be. I think there has been in the past.
Oh, nice.
There's been streams available. So, you know, as soon as I get that information, I'll pass that along 100%.
Absolutely. And then we'll pass it on to everyone that we know, so that we can provide you the support back here in nice cold Minnesota while you're catching some rays down in Buenos Aires.
Hell yeah, let's break that Pan Am internet.
Sounds good, AO. Well, good luck. We're super excited to support you through this process, and go Team USA.
Thanks, guys. No, I really appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure, and go Crows.
All right, thanks, AO. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Later, boys.
As we noted on the last week's show, or 2 weeks ago, whenever we met last week, Nate, futures trials are underway, and we had our first session. So just a little bit of background on kind of what the first session was. The group was split into two groups this year because we are fielding two UPSL teams, one of the U21 variety and one of the U19 variety, as I believe you talked about the differences between the two on our last show. But we had about 80-ish players split into an A and a B group last week Friday, which was really, really nice to have the back-to-back sessions, because it was super easy for the coaching staff to set up once and not have to like wait a full week and tear it down and reset it up again and do it all over again, hit rinse and repeat. But first impressions for me, Nate, I know you were excited to hear about this. In my opinion, the players in the pool that we invited to the U21s that are also qualified for the U19s actually were, in my opinion, the best in the group. And wow. Yeah. I mean, not to say there weren't some over 19-year-olds that were good. There were. But I was really impressed that the players that are eligible for the 19s, which were the younger players that were brought into the futures setup last year over the winter, they really showed how a year in our program, then going off to their own thing and then coming back, really elevated their play. They looked like different players, like
sure.
same profiles, same strengths that we selected them the first go around, but seeing them again back in this, I was like, holy cow. I believe one of the players that was really impressive was Elijah Faring, who I know you know from high school work with Olin, but yep. Like he came back a totally different player. And I was like, put a star next to him was like, you know, it's going to be a difficult decision. Which group is he added to? So stuff like that went on.
Which is interesting because he was hurt and out a lot of that high school season. So that's good. You just kind of learn from the environment. I was looking at the pool and there were something like, I don't know, 11 or so, maybe a dozen guys that were probably U19s that were elevated, that were, you know, like you said, from the futures program last year. I saw Hudson Benitez on that list too.
Oh man, he played well.
That kid is
played really well.
Really good. So that's it. That kind of confirms what I had thought. It's like, yeah, I bet it was just, you know, who were the guys in the futures program last year that fall in the U19 group, but probably were identified as like, just come back and see if you can push yourself. And it sounds like, it was working.
Yeah. And I mean, there was a handful of players we were like, yes, maybe let's see what Group B looks like, you know, and how they do in the next phase of the trial, to make the decision on whether or not they're in the 21 picture or not. But I mean, overall, I think that, you know, it was a typical futures tryout. You know, what we ran the players through some physical testing as well as some fitness testing, and then had them just play. Yeah, so it was really, really nice to see them play. But I was surprised to find out afterwards when we kind of had the coaches get together, that all of the players from last year's UPSL team that are in town guys were given a spot in the winter program. So they're deciding to elevate those players as a carrot at the end of the stick to bring them back in. To say like, hey, you don't have to go through the trial process if you don't want to. But there were some players that obviously like they'd say no or whatever. But if you're kind of crunching the numbers, that means that out of the 80-ish or so players that we had, around 40, there's around 35 spots that are actually available for those 80 players to join the program at the 21 level. And then obviously a full 45-ish, maybe 50 that we have to bring in for the 19s to fill the space. Yeah. Since it's new, and we may see some of those 19s get elevated at the 21 setup. So it's definitely an opportunity for a lot of players. There's still space available on the rosters, as we just mentioned, but there's also space limited at the trials. So if you know anyone that is interested in either age group, the 21s or the 19s, you can go to mplscitysc.com and head on over to the futures tab, and all the information is there. The U19 group gets started up next Tuesday night. That's birth years of 2006 through 2008. Man, that makes me feel super old. Yeah. the fee is $99, and the first group A is at 7 p.m. and group B is at 8:30 p.m. At the Savage Dome, which is a great name. The murder at the Savage Dome.
That's a t-shirt.
That is a t-shirt. And then on December 22nd, right before the holidays, no pun intended, at Winter Park in Eden Prairie, Group A starting at 7 o'clock p.m. again, and then Group B starting at 8:30 p.m. So again, head on over to mplscitysc.com under Futures in the navigation, and you can get all the information there. So once again, spots available for both groups, particularly goalkeepers. So you know, any goalkeepers out there, you know, hit us up. And that is all for this week's show. Thanks for listening, and thank you to our wonderful show sponsor, footballstadiumprints.com. If you're in the market for supremely curated soccer-focused graphic design on anything from mugs to t-shirts, head on over to footballstadiumprints.com, fill up your cart, and don't forget to use the code CROWS10 for 10% off of everything you purchase. I think they tweeted out today that they what the dates are before to ensure that you're going to get your holiday shipping. So yeah, if you're interested in purchasing something from footballstadiumprints.com, head on over to their page on X, their profile on X, and you'll be able to see what those dates are. As a reminder, Minneapolis City is a 501c3, so consider beefing up that tax-deductible donation ahead of next year through a charitable gift to the club. Memberships for 2024 season are on sale now, so it's never too early for you to cement your seat in the stands and get some sweet swag. Also, you'll get an early discount, so that's always nice. And I believe if you get it in soon or right away, you'll be able to get your last votes in for the away jersey.
Yeah, if you haven't voted yet because you're not a member, do it.
Yeah, do it. So head on over to mplscitysc.com and get yours today. If you're interested in getting a hold of us, we've made it super simple. Hit up the club on X at mplscitysc and hit up the show on X at The People's Pitch, or via email, mcscpodcast@gmail.com, if X is not your thing.
If X don't give it to you,
yeah, head on over to email. That is all for this week's show. I am John. That was obviously Aaron Olson heading off to the 2023-2024 Maccabi games. And of course, that was Nate. We'll be revisiting more of our favorite episodes throughout the holidays before we start 2024 with a bang. So until then,
you got hooked.